I asked somebody, I go, why me? Why me moving to Boston? And their answer was, because you're willing. And I think that was probably the turning point for me. It's like, all right, I don't have to know how to do this. God will provide a way.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. Welcome to the show dedicated to helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world. My name's Jared DeNaro, host of the Morning Star Bright Lights podcast. And to all the bright lights out there shining with the light of Jesus Christ, thanks for listening in. So glad you could join us. Today's conversation is with Matt Love at the Well Coffee House, with locations in Boston, East Boston, and Everett, Massachusetts. They love God, they love people, and they love coffee. And I had the privilege of sipping four shots of espresso while hearing about all that God was doing to reach the people of Boston with the truth and love of Jesus Christ through these coffee shops. I hope that you will join us for this great conversation. This episode is brought to you by Morningstar Christian Bookstore, New England's local full-service Christian bookstore with locations throughout New England, including our brand new location in Sutton, Massachusetts at 140 Worcester Providence Turnpike on Route 146 in Sutton, right next to Tony's Pizza. Stay connected to us on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and watch for updates on our Google listing, and visit MorningstarBookstore.com for the latest on our stores and events, including hours and directions to all our locations. Well, grab your favorite cafe beverage as we go to our feature conversation about how God is bringing the gospel to Boston and cultivating a culture of community and ministry through these local, purposeful coffee shops. Here is my conversation with Matt Love. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Matthew Love, co-founder of The Well Coffee House, a 501c3 nonprofit organization with a mission to create high-quality coffee house environments that produce opportunities for building relationships, serving the community, demonstrating love, presenting the gospel, and bringing glory to Jesus. The Well has three coffee shops in Boston, East Boston, and Everett, Massachusetts, and you can learn more about The Well Coffee House at thewellcoffeehouse.com. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Matt, I can't wait to hear all about The Well Coffee House. We're sitting here in the East Boston location, and it's just a fantastic looking place. And it's not often that I get to drink coffee with my guest. This has been fantastic to just be a part of what you guys are doing down here. Before we get into all of what The Well Coffee House is, I'd love to hear briefly about how you came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, I was one of the lucky ones that I grew up in a home that my mom was the choir director, my sisters were Sunday school teachers, my dad was actively involved. It was a good experience growing up. Unfortunately, divorce happened to my family, and there was a time in which I did walk away. But prior to that, I remember coming to my mom and just saying, I want to be in heaven with Jesus. As a young man, I know my mom put that date down in my baby book, but I just knew that it was not a fear of going to hell, but it was a desire to be with Christ in heaven. I didn't understand the implications of sin until I actually made it through high school and into college, and then my realization of the depravity that I had set in, and I realized that it was more than just wanting to be in heaven with Jesus, but wanted to be reunited with my Creator because of the separation of sin that I had had. So it was a long process, and I think that I'm one of those people that just learn slowly.
That's okay. The Bible says that God's patient, right?
Amen.
And we're so grateful for that. Well, thank you for sharing that. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about how God had prepared you for what you're doing now through your life journey?
Well, I started out as a school teacher a football coach, and I coached other sports as well. The process was a slow one again. I was reluctant. I called myself the Jonah because it was like, I don't want to go kicking and screaming all the way to where I'm at now. But it was preparing me of, you know, wanting to be work with young people, wanting to help in them in their process of growth, like people have helped me. And then slowly, as I came back from college, got plugged into my local church, I was also married. My wife and I, Julie, have been married for 29 years now.
Wow, yeah.
But it was somebody that stepped into my life and wanted to mentor me. He was 15 years older than me, gave me some guidance. We ended up going to a Promise Keepers convention. And for a young man that was not sure about how to interact with my faith in the public sector, also being a public school teacher where it's not very appreciated,
mm-hmm.
The opportunity to go to the conference kind of like changed me. And Tony Evans was up on stage and he was riling us all up. And I think I would have ran through a brick wall that day. But as I got back from that conference, it really settled in. Like, am I being a man of God? Am I living a life that is pleasing to God? And I really had to go back and check a lot of stuff. And that was really where I went from daily, you know, weekly church attendance to this is going to be my life. And it was like, was I a believer or was I a true believer? And truly believing means you're changing everything and then making Christ the Lord of your life. And that was a big change for me in my early 20s. And then from that, it was just one little step of somebody asking me to do something else, to go on a missions trip, to build homes in Mexico, to the next phase was somebody stepped out and goes, hey, I need you to come and help me with FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. My first time there is really, you know, like, oh my gosh, these kids are all here. And then we started out with 5 young people, and we slowly grew that to 60, to 65, to 70 students coming in on a Monday night to hear a little bit more of how Jesus can impact their lives and just for the gospel.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful experience. But those little steps, there was nothing massive or nothing drastic that changed. It was just, hey, will you do this? And then one more person's encouraging me to step out in my faith. I think the biggest moment was for me, I was going to work and I realized I'm going to glorify you today in everything that I do and in everything that I say. And at that moment, I said, all right, what if I say too much? What if I go too far? And what if I pray with the young person at school? And then I go, what if I get fired? And I go, what if I do get fired? And I get fired for presenting the gospel? That's how I started living my life, is like, I want to make sure everything that I do is I'm being, and again, this comes down into my risk-taking mentality and my personality, is that I wanted to be a risk-taker for Jesus, and that became my mantra and everything that I was doing. So then I moved on to coaching at a private Christian high school, and at that moment when I was actually leading young men in Bible studies on a weekly basis, and it wasn't, you know, a chicken soup for the soul type of conversation, but this is the gospel. This is how you live out your life. And mentoring those young men, it flipped the switch. That was my last year coaching at that school. And then the next year we moved out to Boston. The founder and president of the Well Coffee House, which would be my dear friend, Kevin Scott, came to me with my wife with this idea of doing this in Boston and in the New England area. And I was like, that's just a crazy, crazy idea. But as he kind of like shared his vision of what it would look like to be here, to be doing coffee, it was hard. I had no idea what it was going to look like. But him being a previous business owner and a pastor, he and his wife, Christy, had been in the New England area before and desired to move back out here. And they came and got us in California and dragged us kicking and screaming all the way out here. But it's been a wild, wild ride, with lots of ups and downs, but mostly just seeing God move through even the difficult things. Like I said, Kevin is the visionary for this and helped pioneer everything that we've done. Been the catalyst of making sure that we stay on the mission. And my wife, Julie, and I just have been able to, with with complete permission, just take off and run with these three coffee houses, four on the way, potential down the line. But just being able to partner with different local organizations. And again, we started off with a small idea that is just, again, being willing to be used by God, has expanded and grown to where we can now be more of an impact, not just in one community, but in multiple communities.
Wow. So I can see that progression. Those little decisions that you made one after the other, and then God working on your heart to bring you forward as really a devoted disciple, somebody who is living their lives, laying it out all on the line for the glory of God and for the advance of the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
That is awesome. So that gives me a great window into how you landed here in East Boston and in the surrounding areas, serving coffee to people. I'd love to hear more about why the Well Coffee House exists.
Well, that's a great story. I mean, and it's really two simple phrases. Our desire is to bring glory to God in everything we do. So whether it's coffee or whether it's picking up trash in a street cleanup or whatever. But the next phase of why the coffee house exists is our desire to redeem business for Jesus. And that was one of the big things as we start looking to bigger and bigger, like a rock hitting water and just kind of rippling out. How do we start off? Well, we're going to glorify God in everything we do. But then we're going to redeem recreation. We're going to redeem social activities. We're going to redeem business. We're going to redeem the city. And that's the ultimate goal, is like, we'd love to see Boston flip the switch and go towards everything to glorify God.
Amen. Yes.
And that is our ultimate goal, whether it's going to be in our short lifetime or we can just be the next step in the progress. So.
Incredible. I love it. I love everything about it. It makes me want to move to Boston and get coffee every day around here.
Well, we can do that for you.
So talk to me about how the coffee house is doing this. What's the plan? The meat and potatoes of what you guys do, if you will.
Well, in the introduction, you kind of stated a lot of it, but breaking it down into the daily activities, we are primarily staffed with volunteers, and these volunteers are not just from churches that meet in the coffee houses, but they're from throughout the whole city. We have college students that are not attending church. We have young people that are moving into the city. We have a new Afghan refugee that we've partnered with Send Relief that has brought him into our life to where we can help him get more comfortable with the community and into the States. So our goal is, as we move forward, is that we want to prepare our volunteers and our staff, which we consider to be barista missionaries, to be able to provide a warm location, which we consider a third space. And that third space is an old phrase describing a place where it's comfortable. It's not a church setting, it's not a home, but it's a place in which you can come and meet with somebody, have a conversation, and we provide that for customers or our staff to be able to meet with somebody. So everybody that comes in, we look at it as two things. Well, there are customers, but they're a potential friend and a potential partner. And what I mean by friend is that there's relationships that we've built over the last 9 years or 8 years that we've been doing coffee in Boston that are still our friends. Some of them now attend church and some of them are just friends. We also view them as partners, as they buy coffee, keep the mission going, but then they also plug into where they support the nonprofits that we pick for each month. And we pick a different nonprofit each month for each location that is specific to that community.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, that's another conversation to have. But as we prepare our barista missionaries to have those relationships, they're looking at, this is a new friend, a new partner, a divine appointment. And as they see the customers come through, they're serving them with the joy. In fact, when we pass off the coffee to each one of them, we say, enjoy. And that has a dual meaning. We want them to enjoy the coffee, but we want them to also know that it was made in joy. And as that mindset comes in, people really gravitate to what is so different about us. And then that segues into, well, I can tell you something about it. And we have icebreaker conversations to go from and what we consider moving from the counter where that first interaction is, and we consider that to be first stage evangelism, where you're breaking down that first barrier. And then we move from the counter to the couch and then to the table where we can actually have some more intimate conversations and hopefully be able to present the gospel.
You mentioned making these friends and partners throughout the city, and then having people who are coming in to volunteer at the coffee shop from many different walks of life. It sounds like a real melting pot, but the foundation is Jesus.
Correct.
The foundation is a desire to see transformation take place in people's lives, and that ripple effect that you were talking about permeate the city.
That's exactly right. The coffee house, whether it could have been anything else, it could have been a thrift store, but for the location and what we feel that we specifically can help our community out and also be an outreach, this business. Two things that Bostonians and people who live in New England love. One of them is a bar or a coffee shop. The bar didn't fit our model of being able to present the gospel, so we knew that the coffee was going to be the next route, and we know the New Englanders love their coffee. Mm-hmm. So this was, how can we be a part of the community? How can we be a benefit to the community? How can we redeem business for the community? And as we started answering all these questions, the coffee shop was the perfect model for us to go into.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you're doing in the community?
So we partner with a different nonprofit each month. That nonprofit, again, is specific to each location. So Everett has their location, a nonprofit, and it's Bread of Life. This month in downtown Boston has theirs, and East Boston has theirs as well. And each time, each month, we rotate those around so we can be more involved. And now these nonprofits aren't setting their yearly budget off of the check that we write them, but the impact of people knowing what that nonprofit is doing in the community, being able to, that our partners, which are our customers, to be able to go and support that nonprofit, and also just builds up the community, let people know that there's people doing good. Our part of it is that we're bringing the gospel along with it. So as we're supporting and meeting some needs, our main focus is we're going to bring the gospel with it.
Yes. And you're making these connections. You probably have names and faces associated with many of these nonprofits. Many of them probably come in for coffee, I would imagine.
On a regular basis, mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that's where it is, right mm-hmm. there. Because you could just write a check.
We could.
And that would be it. And there wouldn't be any other connection beyond that. But really, the change happens when people get together and they have common vision and common ground to connect. And if coffee is the starting point for that, all the better.
Amen.
So cool. This sounds great, but I imagine it's difficult. I imagine there's some challenges facing you guys and also facing the city. And you probably hear about the challenges from the nonprofits that you're partnering with, and they probably hear about your challenges when you talk to them. Can you talk about some of those challenges in front of you and in front of the community and what the Well Coffee House has been doing to overcome those challenges?
Well, there's a lot of them. Like you said, coming from the city, we are a business, so we have to function as a business. And that means we have bills that we have to pay, we have to do taxes and audits and run a legitimate business. Mm-hmm. The next issue is balancing business with ministry, how people perceive us as a business that does ministry. Is it, in balancing that out to make sure that one doesn't overtake the other? Because we can become so business-minded that we change how we do things or where we will go and work or do events or set up another coffee shop. How is ministry? So that's the first question that we always have to ask. How will ministry be done in that location? And how will we be able to maintain relationships with the doing ministry? The next question is the business going to be viable? Because if the business isn't viable, then the ministry isn't going to succeed. Mm-hmm. The business funds the ministry.
Yeah.
If the business doesn't function well, then the ministry will also fail as well. Mm-hmm. We always have to make sure that we're balancing that. And we had a young man that worked with us through Chi Alpha, which is a college program this summer, and he probably stated it the best that I've ever seen it done. And he said, the coffee house/ ministry is the is the best representation of marrying the marketplace with ministry. And I was so impressed with how he was able to articulate it and be able to show how he was able to do it and the relationships that he was able to build in such a short 6-week period.
Yeah.
That's one of the benefits that we have, is that we can, and being a more of an evangelist that I am, I look for those opportunities to have those conversations, and that's where the success lies, is where you find somebody that every day in every activity that they do, they're looking for a divine appointment. And this can be done at any workplace. It's not just that you have to be at a coffee house that has a 501c3, but it could be in your job at the grocery store. It could be at your job in the office building. It's how you carry out your walk and how you carry out your faith. And sometimes you have to be a little bit of a risk taker and start those conversations.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And the Lord leads you. I imagine you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, this is an opportunity to maybe open up a little bit here, talk about something here. Mm-hmm. And the sensitivity that we have to the Lord leading us in those areas, at least in my life, that those have, when I've been sensitive and responded to the Lord leading me to talk to people about things, you could see spiritual fruit come from that.
Right. And that's the benefit of being in a city like Boston, where I think the statistics say that less than 2% of the population is evangelical or even knows where their Bible's at.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. as you're walking down the street, it's almost like, are you the one? Are you the one? Please, I mean, and desiring to have those conversations, because we could really just put our head down and muddle through any day that we have. It's the desire to share the gospel, knowing that I was that sinner as well, that I am still a sinner, but saved by grace, that you want to be able to share that with somebody. Just add another brother and sister to the fold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. And when you talk to these organizations that you're partnering with, do you hear a consistent need or a consistent challenge from the nonprofits that you're supporting as well? Do you feel like there's a common thread within the city?
There is, and a lot of it is always going to be funding. Most nonprofits are always out. There's not a business component to it. We're not taking in money. So it's always going to be, where are we going to get our donations? Where are we going to get our funding? And sometimes it's coming straight from the city and you're having to write your grants and do all that. That's a struggle that everybody's going to face. The next thing is, and one of the parts that we hope that we provide, is allowing people to know about what's going on so that maybe they will go and volunteer, because these nonprofits are volunteer based. That they're going to maybe get somebody out of the conversations that we have, that we can support them. Because again, the money isn't that great that we give, but the recognition, what do we call it?
The awareness?
Definitely, the awareness of what's going on, because we showcase that nonprofit. And hopefully that will help them out with the two things they need, which is one, funding, and staffing.
Yeah, what better place to do it than in a community building area like a coffee shop, where people sit and they talk about their life and the things that matter to them. I'd love to hear more about the coffee. I mean, people come to coffee shops because they're ready for their morning fix or they want to try something new. And I'm looking at the menu right now and there's some fantastic offerings on there. Can you talk a little bit about what inspires what you serve?
A lot of it is always going to be community-based, what the community enjoys. So like each one of our locations has a different special. The Flying Cloud is the one for this area because of a ship that left port in East Boston and went all the way around the Cape. So there's different ones for each location. Everett has one that's called a New Orleans Latte, which is a big seller. So it's just based on that. But what we want to do is we want to provide our customers with an amazing coffee. We don't roast our own beans. We kind of leave that up to our roaster, which is Crimson Cup, which is out of Columbus, Ohio. We searched for maybe 2 years to find the one that we really enjoyed, one that we liked, one that we could support, because their goal is to support the communities that are involved by their coffee. The coffee that we serve is delicious. It's award-winning. Probably our iced coffee is probably the best thing that we have going
really?
For us. Well, it's New England.
Yeah.
New Englanders pride themselves on enjoying a good iced coffee. So that's something
all
that
year.
We do. Yes,
all year
long. It never stops. And And it totally makes sense, because if you walk outside with a hot cup of coffee and in a minute and a half it's cold, you drink cold coffee no matter what.
It's true. Yeah. Yep. That's fantastic. And this ristretto is amazing, by the way. I'm really enjoying it. It's complex. It's not too bitter. I'm definitely more awake than I was.
Well, that's good. Four shots will do that for you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yes. So that's great to hear about Crimson Cup.
Yes.
The roaster that you guys use.
Yeah. We have our dark roast. We have a medium roast. Those are just kind of our standards. And we do a light roast iced coffee. There's a lot of varieties. We change up our drink specials. Those are kind of seasonal, obviously. We change the light roast iced coffee often.
And a full espresso bar.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That thing's running nonstop.
Fantastic. Do you have any favorites?
Yeah. Well, as my palate has changed, I've gone from doing like espresso shots, gone to hot coffee, to iced coffee. So the nice thing about being in the coffee house is that I don't have to say no to anything.
That's right.
And so I really enjoy everything that we have. I just, whatever I want at that time.
All right, so let's talk about the experience of coming into one of these coffee houses. And they're all different. Their location kind of determines what the character is and how the place functions. Maybe some highlights from each of the locations, but more importantly, the vibe. You know, what do you want people to feel and experience when they walk into the Well?
Well, obviously we want to make it as homey as possible, because you can go into any other one of our competitors and it's going to feel a little bit more of a sterile environment. Mm-hmm. Where it's very closed off, it's very cold, and we want our environment to be warm. In fact, when we train up our barista missionaries, we give them three things to focus on. That when somebody walks in the door, we want them to be greeted, we want them to feel welcomed. And then the next is that we want them to be able to see, like, hey, this is ran really well. It's a clean operation. Everything seems to be functioning. This doesn't seem to be complete chaos in the back, but everything is just kind of like moving along. And then the last thing we want them to do is that when they finish off getting that drink, and we do things in a pattern, and we call it the dance as the drinks are being made, so everybody knows where everybody's going to go. But the drink recipes are consistent. It's not like you have to know something different for each drink. But especially since we have so many volunteers, the drink recipes need to be recognizable, consistent. How we do things is always the same. That's so we can move on to the next phase, which is a conversation. But if somebody comes in and they notice that the place is ran well, it's organized, they're greeted well, and the drink is delicious, the chances of them coming back again are going to be very high.
Oh,
and
yeah.
From a business standpoint, that's fantastic, because that's going to keep, you know, the doors open and the lights on. But our main focus is that person is going to come back. We're going to learn their name. We're going to learn their drink. We might learn their drink first before their name, because sometimes they, hey, yeah, you're that tall, skinny latte person. Yeah, but we start to recognize who they are, and that relationship gets built, and then that person starts to have that confidence in us as being somebody that they can maybe share a little bit about their life or maybe some of the struggles that they're going through. And that's when we can then move into that more of a conversational role. And we feel like if somebody gets those three positive atmospheres, that relationship is going, they're going to come back, and then we can start moving down that path. But, you know, talking about some of the stories that we have, I remember this one instant where I was working at the register. And this person came up and they just looked down. I hadn't seen them in 5 days. And that, because they had been coming on a regular basis, I was able to go, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing? And the look on their face was just pure pain. Mm-hmm. And I said, is there something going on? Are you okay? And they went on to tell me that their daughter had attempted suicide, their son was in a car accident, and their ex-husband had just passed away.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was trying to pay, and I go, no, this one's on us, but can I pray for you? And usually when you say that to somebody, they go, yeah, pray for me, as, you know, some other time, I go, can I pray for you? And when I got the affirmative, I told my partner, hey, take the register. And I moved down to the end of the line, and I just got a chance to pray with them. That moment was, and as we share, that moment was indicative of that person coming back, because they felt comfortable, and to then share with me what their struggles were, it gave evidence to the three things that we want to focus on. Do they feel welcome? Is it a well-run organization? Are they having a good drink? Because that means they're going to come back, and then that relationship can be built.
Yeah.
That's just one story.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Do you have any other stories that you'd like to share with us about how God is using the well to make a difference in Jesus' name here in New England?
Those stories are so long, and we could probably spend about 2 hours of just hearing one after another. I'll give you a really quick one. There was a young man that was attending Suffolk University, and his name's David, so I don't have to keep saying he. David came in one time, and listening for that divine appointment, that call from the Holy Spirit, he came in, and he was with a young woman, and my wife and I are standing at the counter, and he walks away, and I go, I don't know what it is, but I like that kid. And that relationship went from him coming back in, and every time he'd come back in, I go, I want to show you and I share with you another drink. I want to share with you another drink, to the point where he was like, hey, how's it going? He told me his name. I forgot his name for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
But he kept coming back in, and we had these conversations, and I referred to him as the young coffee house kid or young coffee house guy. And as he kept coming back in and just asking him more questions, getting to know him a little bit better, he went away for the summer, came back, and this was in 2019. And we started going into some more conversations, and then COVID hit. There was this brief period of time where he was really struggling. We stayed open. He started coming back into the coffee house, and he came up and he asked me a question. He was referring to a relationship that he was in. And he asked me, what do you think? And I gave him a biblical answer, but first I started off with, you're not going to like my answer.
Ooh.
Yes. And I gave it to him, and he goes, then you're the one I want to talk to. And I knew at that moment, after a year and a half of just praying for him, but just, you know, nurturing this relationship, David ended up starting coming into the coffee house, and he bought himself a Bible, and he started like really being devoted to learning more about the scripture and asking me questions every day. And again, we're open, and I think I'm seeing 7-8 people a day. And as that relationship started to grow more, well, David went from the lifestyle that he was leaving to completely turn it around. He accepted the Lord. I ended up baptizing him the next spring. And we're still friends to this day. That was just one story. And those things happen on a regular basis. That was just one of them that happened to me. I think how we're impacting our community, besides having those intimate conversations, building that relationship, moving from the counter to the couch to the table, we have now started to partner with more churches that are outside of the church at the well. That our downtown location is a location where churches can come and use the facilities. We partnered with a church planter in Dorchester this last Friday for a spoken word and poetry evening, which was a huge hit. We give them a location to meet because they don't have a church of their own.
Okay,
and yeah. Membership meetings happen at at the coffee house. But we've also spread, and now we're partnering more with Send Relief. We're partnering with their refugee program. As refugees are coming in, we're providing some essentials for them. We're now taking on some of the individuals that are coming into the community as refugees, as employees, to help them get established in the community. We're also working with downtown with U Boston, with the city provides young people to come and work at the coffee house to give them more of a foothold into the community. There's opportunities that are starting to manifest by just one more relationship. And this is one of the struggles that I have, as we were sharing with before we got started, is that because I want to be used by God in any opportunity, and how this coffee house has done it, I have a hard time saying no to people.
Uh-huh.
That if they say, hey, would you like to do this? I go, will the gospel be furthered? Will ministry be given? Can we be supportive in some growth? Will the kingdom, and being kingdom focused, is the kingdom going to be advanced? And again, our ultimate goal is to take the city for Jesus.
Yes.
I have a hard time saying no. So my days are long. My wife's days are long. My team's days are long. And luckily, we have a large group of people that have decided to not just come behind us and support us, but have come alongside of us and shouldering a lot of the burden.
So cool. I'm so glad to hear that. vision. When you have vision and purpose, people will come alongside of you with shared vision and shared purpose. And God knows what he's doing, you know? I understand what it's like to struggle to say no. And I understand that completely. And yet the Lord works in the midst of every situation and every decision to bring about his good purposes. You know, for the future, I know that the Lord is gonna sustain you and keep you going in his way as you seek his face, and he's gonna continue to bring those people into your life. Hopefully, bring some people alongside to shoulder the burden as well. All right, so I'd love to hear about your top three books, resources, people. What would you recommend people read or watch or listen to grow as people who are functioning in business and ministry? Things that are similar to what's going on here at The Well.
I know that starting out doing a business, it's always good to have a couple resources that you can kind of lean back on. And one of the ones that we started off with is just doing business God's way. That was it's a great step in the right direction. But I think that being prepared for ministry or being prepared to serve God is still coming down to, are you willing to just step out? And I remember in the beginning of just moving myself through the process of being faithful and wanting to live a life that's glorifying to God. I remember way back when Francis Chan's book, and this was back early 2000s, that, you know, Crazy Love. That was
Crazy
a great
Love.
One. Kind of like got got my feet wet in it. Jumped into Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the last one was Get Out of the Boat. Which is another one, is just, are you willing to step out in faith?
Amen. Those are some great resources. If you could share one thing to engage, equip, and encourage the Morningstar Bright Lights community, the everyday Christian, as well as the greater church in New England and in our nation and in our world to shine brighter as lights for Jesus Christ, what would you tell them?
I want to say that I was so prepared to do this, so prepared to do ministry, and I literally wasn't. I was asked if I wanted to come out to Boston. I said no. I had a really comfortable life. And the moment that I said no, the Holy Spirit just wrecked me. That was my belly of the whale moment. It was a hard, hard decision. I asked somebody, I go, why me? Why me moving to Boston? And their answer was, because you're willing. And I think that was probably the turning point for me. It's like, all right, I don't have to know how to do this. God will provide a way.
Amen.
I don't have to have all the answers. God will provide a way. And as we've lived out that motto in our life, myself, my wife, my family, the whole team that's involved in doing the coffee house ministry and planting the coffee house churches so planters can be meeting in them, it's always been, God will provide a way. And as we move forward, and it's just been milestone after milestone after milestone, and I will say miracle after miracle, to see God move, it's just being a willingness to be used. So all those books that I've read, the podcasts that I've heard, the sermons that I've listened to, it still comes down to, are you gonna take what you hear and you're gonna do something with it?
And that is a great word for us. It resonates with me. This podcast was designed to motivate people in New England to consider who God has made them to be and to step out in faith, to be willing to do what God has called them to do without fear, and to trust that the Lord has prepared them for a purpose. And I believe that large and small, when each of us say yes to the Lord, when he prompts us to go and do, that we're going to experience a great transformation in our region for the very reasons that you've talked about this entire time, making relationships, pointing people to Jesus, and seeing people transformed by the message of the gospel. That is what's going to bring this region here in New England forward and back to God. I believe it. And I'm believing for Boston too. And you guys are not alone in the ministry here in this city. And I realize that there's a lot of people here and the task probably seems daunting and insurmountable some days, but you're not alone. God is with you and he's prepared his people for the task. So praise God. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. it's been awesome to just have a cup of coffee with you and hear about everything that God's doing with the Well Coffee House. Can't wait to come back. Now I have a place, I have a reason to come back to Boston now, and that's to have coffee here at one of these shops. How can people connect with you, get involved, and support you in what God's doing through the Well Coffee House?
Probably the easiest way is just to link up with us through our website. We appreciate all of the help that we do get, and that's usually where we find most of our resources, most of our partners, and most of our friends.
Okay, that's thewellcoffeehouse.com, right?
That's correct.
Thewellcoffeehouse.com. Well, Matt Love, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We really appreciated the conversation. Looking forward to all that God will do through this coffee house and through your team as you continue to say yes to Jesus.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Special thanks to Matt from the Well Coffee House for joining us. If you would like to learn more about the Well Coffee House, including their locations, go to thewellcoffeehouse.com. Morningstar Christian Bookstore has an ever-growing selection of books, Bibles, gifts, and more available with direct-to-home shipping on our website. You can browse the selection and shop online at morningstarbookstore.com. Bright lights, together we shine brighter. If this podcast is engaging you, encouraging you, and equipping you to shine brighter in your circles and spheres, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow as we share solutions for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who's shining the light of Christ in their unique gifting and planting with a heart to bring New England forward in evangelism, ministry, and the abundant Christian life as disciples and disciple makers, we would love to hear about them. Send suggestions for featured guests to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com. Well, that's the end of our time together today. On behalf of our entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thank you for listening. Join us again for our next episode, and remember, together we shine brighter.